Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show, CJAD 800.
Yes, indeed. Good morning. It's Ken and Walter Assey from Renofco. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Beautiful morning, isn't it?
Yeah, a lot of water out there on the streets, yeah, on the highways and around the intersections, too. There's puddles. Yeah, it's a lot of water accumulation.
April showers, I guess.
April showers bring May flowers. We're waiting. We're waiting. We're getting there. 906-514-790-0800. If you want to talk directly to Walter, take advantage. Sometimes, you know, we take for granted the fact that we have an expert on every week for a full hour. You know, sometimes you just need to talk to someone. You need to bounce something off, you know, an expert to say, hey, what should I do? This is the guy, 514-790-0800. You said you wanted to start by just taking care of some homework from last week.
Yes, we talked about green roof systems.
Yeah.
A caller called in. And I did a bit of research about the products. Usually when I kind of recommend something, it's usually because it's been there for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Established.
Like we always say, the first generation of everything is to be avoided.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the first generation, what it is, it's a launch pad to test for errors, and then they improve as they go.
They haven't worked the kinks out yet.
That's right.
Yeah.
Just remember your first computer and where we're at, or your first Apple phone, or what have you. So the same thing applies. Now, I know that Sika have established done the first green roof in 1969 in Switzerland with their product. And what it is, it's a thermoplastic type membrane, and it's a single ply, and it's hot air welded instead of using the glue system that other membranes use.
Mm-hmm.
So because it's hot air welded, it tend to last a lot longer than the regular glues that you have. Because the problem with glues is if it doesn't adhere properly, if it bubbles, you have all these air gaps. Whereas hot air welding creates this natural barrier.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's also a great system for the roots not to protrude through it. So that's why, you know, it acts as a natural barrier as well on the roof. So it have a lot of advantages. It's been proven because it's been there since a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And since 1969, to be more specific, that's when they used that product the first time. So that's what we would endorse. And that's what we know that actually works right now.
Very good. A couple of calls coming in. We're going to get to Patrick in Vaudreuil. Patrick, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. You're on with Walter. What do you have for him?
I had a question regarding LED recessed lighting. So the pod lights that I have in my living room have been connected for about 5 or 6 years. The LEDs just started flickering when they're on. They are connected to a dimmer switch, which has never been an issue. And there's one of the lights which is burnt out occasionally. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. So I just didn't know if it's an issue with the wiring inside my house or if I have to contact Hydro-Québec to check the outdoor connection.
Usually flickering from LED lights. I'm just gonna go over a few things. Like, if you want a checklist that you're gonna have to potentially go through. It's more than one spotlight that is flickering. Am I correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so that is more of a generalized problem. What you could have, and I hope this is the issue, is that the dimmer is starting to malfunction.
Okay.
That's the most common cause of flickering LED lights. Either it's an incompatible dimmer, which is very common. That's why always try, if you're buying LED lights, to buy the same brand dimmer that is compatible with these particular lights.
Okay.
So that's one thing you want to do, is start with a dimmer, replace that dimmer, and then usually 9 out of 10 times the problem will be solved.
Okay. All right.
It's likely not a connection issue because it's generalized. If it's a connection issue, it's usually one pot light badly connected, causing you problems. So that's why I would kind of start with the dimmer first, so you don't, you know, go over it. The other thing is, what most people potentially don't know, is that there's different qualities in LED lights. The fact that it's an LED bulb if it's a lower quality or lower grade LED, they mm-hmm. tend to malfunction and they tend to break down. They don't last forever. So okay. again, it's a question of the quality of the LED as well. You have you can have them. You just by going to even like specialty stores like Franklin Empire, for example, or Lumen, you will see a huge variety of budgets and prices, and that will give you a good indication of what's out there. So, I mean, again, if you are to replace anything, just make sure that you are buying an adequate quality. But do, in this case, definitely start with a dimmer.
All right.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick. 514-790-0800. Let's go to Nadia, who's in Park X. Walter, Nadia, hi, you there?
Yes. Good morning. Thank you to take my call.
Yes.
I have a problem, Walter, with heating. I have a dual system. Mm-hmm. Oil and electric, and electric went off, and I had it to company, like before they come to serve or something. They are out of business. I don't know to who to call. Please can tell me who, how to get somebody.
So you want someone to service your oil furnace?
No, not oil, electric.
Okay, and why do you need to service your electric furnace?
Because
that's my first question.
It's not heating, it's not working.
Okay, so it's broken. It's not doing
something wrong. I don't know.
Okay.
Clicking, but don't stop, you know. My husband tried to maybe something wrong with the breakers, but not. Something wrong with the heating.
Okay. It's not heating at all? Or it's
not heating at all.
Okay. So any ventilation company, I mean, Electro-Aid is a regular advertiser on the station, so they've been in business for a long time.
Uh-huh.
You could definitely call them. They send a technician and check it out. Usually the good news with electric furnace is furnaces. How old is the furnace, by the way?
Oh, is the furnace about 13, 14 years old.
That's not very long for a furnace. Usually the good news for you is that electric furnaces do not break down as often as
uh-huh.
oil furnaces. So, mm-hmm. and if they do, it's usually something that is minor. Did you check the filters?
No, we don't check nothing, you know,
okay.
because my husband, he doesn't know and anything and that to open. We call electrician. Electrician come and check, maybe because we got something wrong with the breakers. He come and check, and he said so he's not going to open anything because he doesn't understand everything.
Okay.
He better call somebody else.
Do you also have a heat pump in the house or just
no,
a furnace?
No, we don't have it. We
okay.
have it only that, no.
All right. So, I mean, more often than not, when you have not maintained your furnace, you could have had a blocked filter for a long time, a clogged filter, I should say, and it would have caused you eventually some issues and problems with the intake. What you could do is just in preparation for the technician to come and to kind of see if that's what caused the problem, get your husband or yourself to go to where the filter is, and pull it out. And if you see it's been clogged with all kind of dust and particles and what have you, then there's your answer. You know, sometimes we get calls like this, but if you just simply change the filter and restart your system, in a lot of cases, it works again. Try that. If that's not the case, you could call Electro-Aid and they will send you a technician.
Yes, okay,
and they have
you.
Some fabulous
but
technicians.
I don't well. Know where is the filter.
Okay. Usually, if you're going to go down, you have a place where it's like a clip that you unclip, and as soon as you unclip it, it opens, and you just kind of pull it up or slide it out,
yeah.
depending on the furnace.
Uh-huh.
And anyways, if you don't feel comfortable doing it, call the technician. They usually send you someone, because it's not working, especially in colder days, they'll send you someone pretty quickly in this
yeah,
case.
Okay. Thank you. Now, can I ask you? May I ask another question, please?
Oh, I'm going to put you on hold, Nadia, because we're going to come right back. Don't hang up. Lots of calls to get to. Let's go back to the phone. And I believe yes, it's where is she? I got her right up here. Sorry, Nadia. We have
yes.
time for one more quick question.
Yes. Okay. May I ask? You know about floor. We have a problem in the garage floor. One side is more smooth, another side is stones. The small one came off. And it's hard to sweep and wash it. How to fix that? What? I don't know what to do.
Is the cement like kind of chipping away? Is it granulated?
No, not cement. Stones. Only stones came off. Those tiny stones would have in the cement.
Okay, so that's why I'm asking. That means it's deteriorating. It's kind of breaking apart. Am I correct?
Yes, yes, stones, yes, it's a problem.
Okay, so, I mean, that could be easily corrected. What you want to do is you want to chip away at the cement slab
mm-hmm.
Until you go down to a solid surface.
Yeah, okay.
And then you can apply a coat of cement on top of that. There's a specific cement. It's called, I think, Toppet. Yeah, and what you do is you kind of, with a trowel, go over that area, and it will be fine for you to have a new slab. Now, the only problem you're going to have is different colors. You're going to have discoloration for a while, and that's fine, but it actually works. So what you want to start by doing is just make sure that you chip away really to the base until you don't have that granulation or deterioration anymore. And then you apply that that coat of cement.
How spell that? Cement?
Well, I mean, there's Toppet. There's different types of different types of brands.
Uh-huh.
If you leave your number off air, I could send you a few, and that way you can have, you know.
Yeah, okay.
And they sell them in all the hardware stores.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much for your help.
Thank you, Nadia.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye now. We're going to go straight to Bruce, who's calling from... Bruce.
Yes.
Bruce, are you there?
Yes, I am.
It sounds like someone's yelling at you.
I've got company in the car.
Yeah, tell them to pipe down. You got a question. You're on the radio.
Thank you very much.
Go ahead.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I have a semi-detached bungalow in Côte Saint-Luke, and the interior floor space is approximately 1,050 square feet. The ceilings are 8 feet high. I have a forced air oil furnace, and I am considering changing to the electric furnaces. Some of the contractors that I've met have suggested a 2-ton heat pump. Others are suggesting a 3-ton heat pump. And I want to get one of the, I want to get a new inverter type heat pump that goes down to minus 30. And I'd like to know what Walter has to suggest. 2, 2.5, or 3 ton?
You said that it's a 1,000 square foot?
Let's say 1,050 to 1,100.
Okay, so it's...
But that's floor space.
The general rule of thumb is it's a ton per 1,000 square feet. In your case, what I would do is I would go with 2 ton. Gives it a bit of loose, and that should be enough. Now, and the secret here is that you said it's an 8 feet type of height of ceiling.
I beg your pardon, I didn't quite hear you.
The other thing is... is the height of the ceilings.
Exactly.
So given the fact that you said it's 8 feet, we're comfortable with 2 tons. If you would have had a cathedral ceiling or a 12 or 14 feet ceiling, then in this case, I would have told you maybe you should go to the 3 ton. But 2 ton should be sufficient. The other factor that you have to take in mind when making that decision is how well insulated your home is, how old your windows are, and how good is your insulation in the attic. Because that's
The insulation in the attic was redone a few years ago, blown cellulose. I think I have an R factor of 45, and the windows are all brand new, the manuel.
Okay. Your exterior walls are fairly well insulated. You don't have any condensation issues. You don't have any drafts.
Not at this point in time, no.
All right, so I'm very comfortable saying 2 tons should be more than enough in your case.
Is there a downside of going to a 3-ton?
I mean, sometimes if you go with a much powerful, there's no downside really, and I don't think the difference in the price is that big either. But in certain cases, when you have too much, it actually cause other problems. So, plus you don't need that much power, and that, you know.
Okay.
I don't usually recommend going with a bigger unit than what you really need.
Very good. One last question: do you have a recommendation regarding the brand? I'm thinking of one of two Japanese brands, or a train unit?
Okay. So the best answer I would give you is look at the warranty first. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because some brands are still guaranteeing their minus 30 heat pumps for 5 years. Some are guaranteeing them for 3 years, and some are guaranteeing them for 10 years. I want to go to the 10-year warranty brands first, and that will help you eliminating all the other brands that are in between. Even all those brands are very well known, 5 years is old technology for me, as far as I'm concerned, as a warranty. We used to have those types of warranties 20 and 30 years ago. So right now, the brands that we look for first are the 10-year warranty brands. And here's the thing. It's warranty on labor and parts together,
yes.
Not just parts. It's very, very, yeah. very important. And not just the compressor. Not just the compressor. It's a full warranty.
Yes. Does your company sell and install heat pumps and electric furnaces?
We do that in particular jobs as part of a general job. We don't do that specifically as, you know, if someone just calls us for that particular thing. We could definitely give you recommendations who to call as well. I mean, you could always call Electro-Aid. They're very well known for these things.
Okay. Thank you so much, Walter.
My pleasure, sir.
Thanks, Bruce.
By the way, Ken, I enjoy your show. Thank you so much for taking the call.
No, my pleasure. Thank you very much for that. 927. Can I sneak in a question from the text line, if you don't mind?
Of course.
We've got 2 minutes to go before Tom gives us the update in the newsroom. Does steam cleaning your wood floors cause them to warp or squeak, and will it remove the varnish? That's from Drew.
Okay. So the quick answer to that would be if the floors are sealed,
mm-hmm.
Chances are they won't affect it as much. But the floors are never 100% sealed, and I'm going to explain why. It's mainly in the joints. So when the two planks are meeting together, that's usually the weak area of a wood floor.
Mm-hmm.
So when you introduce water and humidity, what you're going to do is you're going to get the wood to a certain humidity level that's going to start making it warp and move. And that will cause cupping.
Mm.
Okay, that will cause cupping. And if you overdo it and get up to 23% relative humidity in the wood, now wood rot starts. So what I'm trying to say is if you can avoid it, do avoid it. There's nothing good that can come out of it.
All right, Drew, I hope that was good for you. 514-790-0800. Tom is standing by with the latest from the newsroom. Then we'll come back and get to more of these phone calls here on the Home Improvement Show.
You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Yes, Walter Assey from Renovco is handling all the heavy lifting here, and Caroline from DDO is on the line. Hi, Caroline.
Hi there. Hi.
How are you?
Not bad, thank you.
Okay, you want to talk to Walter about a new furnace?
Yes, I do. I need a new furnace, and I'm on a budget. Right now, I have the dual system. It's oil-electric with a separate air conditioner. Over the years, it's been great. I've never had one service call, and I was very, very pleased with it. What I would like to do, which I don't know if is possible, I would like an all-electric unit using my air ducts, if it's possible, with the air conditioner separate. I don't really want a heat pump. I've heard, you know, I've been so satisfied with my setup that I don't really... I've heard a lot of people having problems with the heat pump, so I really didn't think I wanted one of those. And so my question is, again, can I have an all-electric using the air ducts that I have and the air conditioner separate?
So the quick answer would be yes. My advice to you is that you are making a big mistake not putting a heat pump. Especially the new generation heat pumps. It is a big mistake. I mean, you do hear a lot of nightmare stories, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
But let me explain a bit of a background why these stories happen. heat pumps and furnaces have to be compatible. So the brands have to be compatible. So when you Frankenstein a system and you have an existing furnace and then you buy another heat pump, the installers or the company you call, if they're not working with the same furnace brand, they Frankenstein another system. And more often than not, these systems are not compatible, and they cause all kind of chronic problems until you either change the system and so on and so forth. But in your case, you're actually starting from a blank slate, which is awesome, because in this case, you can have the two brands, the one brand for both that are compatible, and you can install. And the reason I'm telling you a heat pump is because today's heat pumps are down to minus 30. So, meaning you're going to be paying a heat pump rate at, I would say, 90% of the time in the winter. Whereas if you go with a regular air conditioning, then you're not going to be benefiting. All what you're going to be doing is paying more hydro and less efficiency as well. So, do your homework and just ensure that your heat pump and your furnace are the same brand and they're compatible. If you do that, you should not have any problem whatsoever.
How's that, Caroline?
And I one more question. On a big job like this, am I eligible for a rebate from Hydro or the government or anything?
The last time I checked, there are green rebates. So depending, they might attach them to other things, but I know that there's they're giving subventions now for switching from oil to electric. You might want to call Hydro to ask what these subventions are.
All right. Thanks, Caroline.
Okay, thank you very much.
Bye now. We're going to go to Dumontang and say hi to Maria. Hi, Maria.
Hello.
Hi.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Very good.
Well, I bought a little bungalow about a month and a half ago. And I saw some boxes in the basement, and at some point when I started opening them, I realized that the bottom of the boxes is moist. So I immediately bought two large dehumidifiers that are working now. They've been working for a month. And I wonder what else I can do, because I have to empty them basically every 3-4 days.
The dehumidifiers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Is your basement finished?
Yes.
It's a finished basement.
It's a finished basement,
What do you have on the floors?
It's a floating floor.
Is it right on cement?
I'm not quite sure.
Do you have a subfloor underneath it, or the floating floor is right on the slab?
I'm not really sure, to be honest. I don't know. I don't know. The inspector didn't tell me anything about that.
What year construction is the house?
1959.
Okay. So, quick answers. I mean, again, we have a bit of missing information, but I'm just going to try to guide you in the right direction. When you have humidity in the basement, it could be attributed to many things. Mm-hmm. Number one, if you don't have an adequate subfloor, then especially in the 50s construction, we never used to have geotextiles or vapor barriers under the slab. Mm-hmm. So all the humidity that's coming from the earth kind of goes and seeps into the basement. And that makes it a much harder thing to do to fight the humidity. So you would need to put dehumidifiers and so on and so forth. Maybe if you have no intention to changing anything in the basement, getting a commercial grade dehumidifier might help. In the summer, air conditioning will help decrease the humidity really well. The other thing is, you know, I don't want to have it confused between the humidity, or you could have had some type of water infiltration or condensation in the basement. If you have any areas with exterior walls that are not insulated, that creates condensation, and that leads to humidity. So it could also be a segmented problem that you can just zero in and fix these particular areas at least.
I know from the inspector that there are a couple of cracks outside, and one is a little larger. So I will have them fixed as soon as the weather gets warmer. So that will be done. And you suggest that if I change the basement floor, that might be helpful also.
If you add a subfloor, okay? Not just changing the floor, if you add a subfloor. Now, if you do have a foundation crack and it's an active one, most people don't understand how hydrostatic pressure works. Just go on YouTube and see what a foundation crack, how much water it allows to come in through a house. Although it looks like a very small crack, but you'll be shocked how much water it brings in.
Okay.
So if it is a foundation crack that is active, that gets a whole other game altogether, because it will tremendously increase the humidity, it will cause mold, it will cause wood rot, and it have a lot of other domino factors. So make sure that that gets taken care of as soon as possible, especially now, because now you have the spring thaw and you have the rain. Like a day like today is a worse type of cocktail, because you know you already have snow that is melting, and then the ground is still frozen, and then you have rain. So
rain,
the water will come in as now. And a word of caution: if you do have water coming in and you have a subfloor, more often than not, you won't even see that water coming in, because it goes through the wall, down the subfloor to the drain, wreaks havoc on your subfloor, and the only time you're going to discover it is when your foot goes through the plywood, because the wood gets very rotten and mold. And
I see.
Yeah.
I see. Well, thank you very much. And what company would you recommend for to fill the cracks on the outside?
Any foundation company. I mean, what area do you live in?
Dumontagne.
Yeah, I think Acton goes there. You can call Acton.
Acton?
Yeah.
Acton.
All right.
Yeah, Acton injection.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Good luck,
thank
Maria.
You.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye now. 944 from the text line, I guess as a follow-up to a conversation we had a few minutes ago, it says, yes, there's an $850 rebate from the Quebec government when switching from oil to electric.
There you go. You just made made her $850.
Recently did it for my mom. You can only do it online. Got the payment within a few weeks.
There you go.
Something's working. Mm-hmm. It's
Don't worry, they'll get you back.
Yeah, I know. What goes around comes around.
This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
At 9:50, Walter Assey from Renovco is across the table from me. We're going to go right to the phone because we've got so many people we're going to try to squeeze in here. We start in NDG with Irina. Irina, hi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine.
All right. Did I get the name right? Is it Irina?
No. My name is Elena.
Elena. They say here it's written Irina here on the board.
We have Jimmy to blame.
Listen, Elena.
I have two questions. One question and one advice.
Okay.
The question is, I have a crack under a window upstairs. Mm. The ziplock or whatever it's called inside the house.
Yeah.
And what can I do about it? Is something coming from outside? That's why I get the crack from the roof or what? You have any clue on that problem?
Yeah. Now, a crack below a window, one of the things you want to see if the crack comes with a discoloration or just a paint crack.
It's completely cracked now. But not completely to see outside. Pushing out a little bit toward the house.
Okay. So when you touch it, is it soft to the touch?
Wait a minute. I can tie it now. Just wait a couple of minutes. No. Meanwhile, I want to give advice to the lady who needs a service for her furnace. She can call Comfort Expert. They're pretty good to come in and fix her heater.
What was the company name?
Comfort Experts.
Comfort Experts. All right. Very nice. Very good.
You wanted the number too?
No, it's okay.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. All right.
She can call Comfort Expert.
Yeah.
And they come and they fix the furnace, because I had the service with them. They're very good.
So going back to your window question, one of the things you want to do is you want to see if the crack is soft to the touch or if there's any discoloration in it.
It came out. It's just cracking the paint and whatever you call it. You know, a little bit. It's not soft. It's hard.
Okay, that's good. So, when was the last time you painted that wall?
Oh, It's over 20 years.
Okay. So you might be lucky, and that's just simply the paint cracking with movements and everything else, because if it's an old type paint, more often than not, it's not acrylic. It's that old latex, and sometimes that will crack. So it could be just a paint cracking.
I see.
Now, what you could do is you could mark it with a pencil and then see if with time the crack gets bigger. If it does, or you see any discoloration, then we have to investigate it a little bit more.
I see.
Okay. The other thing you would want to maybe potentially do is when the weather is nice, you go outside and you look. If you see that the stone ledge outside is cracked, that could be a source why the water is coming in, or a source of water coming in. If you look above it and see that you have mortar joints that are cracked or emptying out, then that could also be a sign of why you have that type of crack below the window. But for now, it doesn't look like it's a water infiltration from what you described.
No, it's not watering. You know, it's dry, completely dry.
Yeah, okay. That's good news for you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for the phone call.
I do listen to your program all the time.
Thank you very much. And have
I do not like to miss it. Thank you very much, and have a wonderful day and happy holiday.
You too.
Thank you.
She's saying all the right things.
That's right.
Tony, are you still there? Tony, come to the phone. How are you?
Hi.
How are you? You wanted to make a comment about a furnace issue that we addressed earlier?
Yeah, exactly. That lady that called earlier with the electric furnace problem. Mm-hmm. I had a problem similar to that several months ago with the furnace, which is click on, click off. It's a very common problem with this particular brand of furnace. I don't know if I can mention it on the air or not. My suggestion to her is do not call any old electrician, because these guys will not be able to troubleshoot the problem. It turns out it's a problem with the electronic control card on this particular furnace. So I would strongly suggest she call the manufacturer, and they have a reference of an electrician that does that replacement work in Montreal. I tried a couple of electricians. They came over. They sort of thought it was a problem with the breaker or the relay. I ended up switching out relays. It didn't work. Finally, I managed to contact the manufacturer, and they referenced me to an electrician here in Montreal that services these particular electric furnaces. So I can give the name off air if you want or whatever.
Very good. Yeah, we'll put you on hold, and Jimmy will take the information down. He's nodding. All right. Well, that's appreciated, Tony. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Let me put him on hold. Jimmy, you can take care of him. Next up is Peter in Pointe-Cascade. Peter, are you talking about a sewage issue?
Yeah, well, not a sewage issue. Good morning, by the way.
Good morning.
Every house, when you look at the roof, you have a pipe. It's like an exhaust, a PVC pipe that comes out through the roof. I think that's for your sewage or your...
No, that's a plumbing vent.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I have in my upstairs bedroom, in my closet, I have a 4-inch pipe that goes up through the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very low, like there is no attic. It's a very small, it's like a mobile home.
Yeah.
But there is no pipe coming through the roof. The pipe goes through my closet into the ceiling, into the small ceiling, but nothing comes out through the roof. No pipe. And I look at every other house and they have some sort of an exhaust pipe coming out through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
So why does mine not come out through the roof?
Two reasons. Number one, you had either a very bad roofer that changed your roof last time.
Okay.
Or you had
I just bought the house, so.
Okay. Or whoever, the previous owners, or they had a bad plumber that did not bring the plumbing vent far enough in the roof. Now, typically, when this happens, you have the plumber that brings the stack, the plumbing vent, all the way to the roof area, and then the roofer have to kind of cap it from the top.
Right.
So, if one of these two subtrades have failed in the process, you would have a pipe that disappeared in an attic, and that's not really good because you don't want. You don't want to have that type of smells going
in your attic.
And you want to have an unimpeded type of you know, a suction from that pipe. So that pipe have to be up there, free, can suck all the air at once, so the plumbing can work adequately.
Okay.
Now, who to call? Very simple. You would, in my opinion, you should call a roofer. Before okay. you call a roofer, what I think you should do is you go in the attic and you see if the pipe is actually there.
Yeah, you can't get into the attic because it's like a mobile home. It might only be like 10 inches.
Okay.
It's so not very high.
Even a bigger reason why you should call a roofer. So what they do is in that particular area, they'll open up the roof and they will peek inside, get the stack out, and then they will repatch the roof in that particular area.
Now, on the roof, you have your vents, your circulating vents,
yeah.
I guess they're called. I have like three of them. Could they have piped that pipe into one of those vents?
No. No.
No. Okay.
No. Not even close to.
Hmm.
Okay. So it's a roofer I call then.
You call a roofer. That is correct.
Good. I appreciate your time, Peter? And you guys have a great day.
Thank you. You too, Peter.
Okay.
Thanks for the call. Walter, thank you.
My pleasure. Apologies for everybody that was waiting, and we could not help them today.
There's always next week. He'll be back next Saturday morning at 9 on the Home Improvement Show. Jimmy, thank you so much. You're sticking around because Lisa's ready to go to answer more calls and questions on The Car Show. We'll talk to you again tomorrow morning on Weekends with Ken.
The Home Improvement Show, brought to you by Electrica, Montreal's trusted team of home electrical experts. Electrica with a K.ca.